So we hope this gets you talking. Earlier this hour, we heard the story of Beth Bratz, who lives in Los Angeles. At the age of 17, Beth's only child, a daughter, 17-year-old, told her mom she was ready to have sex. You can hear what she did at thetakeaway.org, and you can call us with your views and stories at 877-8-MY-TAKE. Now, our next guest doesn't know Beth Bratz, but has faced some of the same interesting issues about teens and sexuality in her own work. Amy Shalit joins us now. She's a sociologist at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. Professor, good morning.
Good morning.
Now, you grew up in the Netherlands and moved to the U.S. for college. And one of the things that surprised you was when you got to America, you realized your American friends had never talked to their parents about sex, while where you grew up, most of your Dutch friends had spent a lot of time talking about it with their parents and seemed to live by what we might think here in the U.S. is a radically different set of rules. Is that a fair assessment of your upbringing?
Well, I would put it slightly differently. I would say that when I moved here, I noticed, A, that actually teenage pregnancy was still really common, that I had never experienced that growing up in the Netherlands, and that I wouldn't say that people never talked about sex, but certainly it was shrouded in much more secrecy and difficulty in this country than I had noticed growing up in the Netherlands, for sure.
Well, yes. Amy Shalit is joining us by Skype from Amherst, Massachusetts, where she's a teacher of sociology at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. And the contrast that she describes better than I did about her upbringing and the contrast between the Netherlands and the United States became the setting for her book, Not Under My Roof, Parents, Teens, and the Culture of Sex. And Amy, first of all, what rules do you think you might bend that are inviolate here in the United States? And let's just begin with the one that our friend Beth Bratz told us, and that was allowing her teenage daughter to experience sex inside their own home. Is that a radical idea in your view?
Well, you know, I speak here as a researcher, so I've compared two countries, one country in which that's not a radical idea, as long as young people are 16, 17, 18, ready, using contraception, and in a positive relationship. That's a really important piece of it. So it's not everything goes in the Dutch case, and that's what U.S. audiences often think. And then but in the United States, because there are such different ideas about what teenagers are and what they're capable of and what parental responsibilities are, parents typically say not under my roof. So yes, we do have two very different sets of rules about how parents should deal with teen sexuality and what's acceptable.
We're speaking with Amy Shalit, whose book is called Not Under My Roof, Parents, Teens, and the Culture of Sex. Amy, is this really the dilemma here, that the teens are going to have sex whether you want it or not, and you just have to decide whether you're going to condone it in your own home or not condone it and condemn it when it's taking place in a car or somewhere else?
Well, you know, I always try to say that the key thing is not necessarily that U.S. parents need to permit sleepovers, because that's really going to be negotiated at the individual level. But what is very important is that they create an environment in which their sons and especially their daughters feel comfortable confiding in their parents and getting guidance, talking about what's a good relationship, when are you ready, that they maintain this teen connection. And that's what you really, teen parent connection. And that's what you really do find in these Dutch families, a stronger bond that's created when sexuality can be speakable and when parents can actually exert more control, ironically, than they often can in this country. Mm.
You know, let's look at this from a sociological perspective, and
sure.
I don't want to take you on here because you're the sociologist, but how do you account for two very different societies? I mean, the Netherlands is much more homogenous. There's a much more sense of shared cultural values, family to family, I would think. Religious differences, certainly, but nothing like the diversity in the United States. And then if you add to that the sort of media culture in the U.S., how is a parent to take an example from the Netherlands and use it constructively in their own life?
Well, you know, that's a very good question. And before I give you the full answer, I'll just say that in my work, I did compare groups that were most similar as possible so that I didn't get the apples and oranges comparison. I was looking at a very specific group, the white middle class that was moderately religious or secular. So I looked at groups that you'd actually expect to be fairly similar. They both went through the sexual revolution and so forth. And then why this difference? I think what I never say, you know, that the U.S. should emulate the Netherlands. But what I do feel that American parents can take from it is many parents are struggling for a new way to do it. And when I have presented my research in the past, many parents in this country have said, like, wow, oh, there's a way we can talk about sexuality that is not so focused solely on the dangers, but on positive development. When do you know you're ready? What are good relationships? How can we keep our conversation open? And people certainly can, by reading about this culture that does it differently, understand how they might do it differently, though they're not going to take it literally or every step follow it as an example, and that's never been my intention.
Now, you know, I'm all for communication, and I've got my wife and I have two 13-year-old daughters who both went as Barbies for Halloween, okay? So I'm in a little bit of a combat fatigue right now. But let's just say, very seriously, I mean, as a parent, I'm faced with the issue of, all right, if I say, all right, fine, under our roof, we're going to allow this. I feel like I'm suddenly sort of joining the noise of sexual content that is raining down upon my daughters rather than standing up and trying to kind of be a little bit of a gatekeeper.
Well, you see, now this is the interesting. This is where I would say you can do more than that and you will be more effective. I would never say fine under my roof blanket. You know, it would be under very particular conditions. And also the key thing, John, is that if you want to be able to have an influence on your daughter around these issues, and she needs you, you need to make sure that she doesn't feel too ashamed when the time comes to actually let you or your wife know what's happening.
Well, that's the other side of it, Amy. And you know, we could go on forever. I mean, if I'm even contemplating, like, you know, having that sort of intimacy in my parents' house, the thought so turns me off. If my parents had said, hey, go ahead here, we would go, could we get a hotel, please?
Right. Well, I mean, again, you know, I have not written a how-to book, and I actually stay away from saying exactly, you know, this is what you should do. And
cagey sociologist,
but if it's completely uncomfortable, then I don't think. But I think the key thing that concerned me when I was interviewing, I had so many American girls who said, you know, my parents would kill me if they found out, or it'd be such a great disappointment. And I think girls then, because they have to go at it alone, because they don't get their parents' guidance, are actually less resilient in dealing with the media, less resilient in dealing with boys. Well, and that is the key thing.
We've talked so much about girls here, and it's a minute to go. Is there something really radically different for boys?
Yes. So the Dutch model is that both teenagers, girls and boys, can fall in love. In national surveys, you find 90% of Dutch 14-year-old boys have said they've fallen in love. And I think the lesson that we can take there is, because in my own research, I also found U.S. boys are quite romantic, but we don't give them credit for that. We view them as sort of raging hormone machines. And I think that's also something we should rethink really do justice to boys.
Well, great stuff to think about there. Amy Shalit's the author of Not Under My Roof, Parents, Teens, and the Culture of Sex. The book is out today. She's an assistant professor of sociology at the University of Massachusetts Amherst. Amy, thanks so much.
Thank you.
And, of course, we'd love to hear your responses on this. 877-8-MY-TAKE or post a comment at thetakeaway.org.
Think of this as the beginning of a conversation that we want to continue with you and tell us what you think.
Probably
I'm Celeste Headlee.
Yeah. I'm going to get an earful when I go home. I'm John Hockenberry. This is The Takeaway.